Well, it's with a lot of pleasure that I've introduced this gentleman every Tuesday at about 5:14 p.m. We all await his return for his show, Live with the Jazz Cat, and he now joins us, Leroy Downs, with his special guest today. How you doing, Leroy?
I'm doing very well today, because today I have with me one of the great trumpet legends of our time, Freddie Hubbard.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
You know, they just had me at Kennedy Center. They gave me a jazz award, a legend jazz award. And I saw all these guys, Moody and Ahmad Jamal and Frank Foster and all these guys. But most of those guys in wheelchairs and stuff.
Well, you know, I just got through interviewing Frank Foster, and as a matter of fact, he talked about that session, at least we did, and he said that there was a photo session.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great, man. Well, you are definitely one of the legends, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man. I felt very honored to be up there with all those guys. I was right next to Michel Legrand.
Oh, man. You know, if I sat here and spent 30 minutes rattling off names of every jazz legend, you would even have either played with them or recorded with them.
You know, I recorded with everybody except Monk.
Everybody except Monk?
I didn't get a chance to record with Monk.
How'd that happen?
Well, he the time that he hit on me to play with him, I was going out of town with Sonny Rollins, back when I was with Sonny, in the 60s. And he said, "Now you don't want to play with me?" I said, "Man, I got a gig with Sonny Rollins." So he said, "Well, okay, go ahead."
Well, you know, I don't think I remember Monk really recording with any trumpet players. I
mean, he had a couple with him.
Yeah.
Older guys.
Yeah, I can't bring that to the forefront of my imagination.
But I used to listen. I used to go down and listen to him all the time. That lady, Baroness Konaswada.
Bananica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Konaswada.
Yeah, yeah.
Name. She used to come and pick me up in Brooklyn.
Nika.
Said, "We're going to hear Monk."
Yeah.
I said, "Right, go hear Monk." And he'd go all the way up from Brooklyn to Harlem to hear Monk.
Well,
she sponsored him, man. She loved him.
Yeah, you know, she sponsored him, Charlie Parker. She was definitely a patron saint of the music, man.
Yeah, she supported all the guests. They made her cut off her money because she was with the Rothschild family, you know.
Yeah.
But she really loved this jazz, man. She used to pick me up in her Bentley. We'd ride down with the top down and stuff.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something that I really haven't told the world yet, and I'm going to share it with you and everyone listening. You know, my girl just passed away recently, but, you know, we had plans to have a baby, and we knew it was going to be a girl, and that's what I was going to name her, Pananica Simone.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I hate to hear that, man, but I've been through a few sicknesses myself, so I know what you're going through.
I know you have, and I'm glad that you're a little better right now.
Oh, yeah, I'm cool now. I'm joining the Gold Health Club, and I'm taking therapy now. Because I had a pinched nerve in my second and third vertebrae. But I'm cool and I can walk and stuff, but I'm going to get my body together before I try to do it again.
Maybe we have to hit the gym and work out a little bit.
Yeah, I'll take you and put you on the floor and take you to the hoop.
You know, you've been responsible for some phenomenal compositions that have made it into the jazz canon, like, you know, Up Jump Spring, Love Flower, Red Clay. And I'm sure the list goes on.
First Light, I won a Grammy for that.
Which one?
First Light.
Oh, man. You know, you've been great to these tunes, and I know these tunes have been great to you as well.
Man, you know what? Since I've been off, I mean, I work every once in a while, but the royalties from this publishing really kept me alive. I wrote 80 songs, and I'm glad I did all those songs. Some of them were good, some of them. Quick tunes, but 80 songs in my publishing, and it's been responsible for me staying alive and staying out here.
That's a blessing.
I mean, I really thank God for that, you know, because I don't know, when you're down, people kind of try to forget you.
Well, we couldn't forget Freddie Hubbard.
You better not, all that stuff I done played. I made 300 records.
What was that?
I made 300 recordings.
Oh, my goodness.
They did a discography of me over in Japan, and half of those records, man, I'd forgotten about, but 300 albums. And they didn't include all of them, because I did some albums over in Europe when I was touring over in Warsaw. I did some in Yugoslavia with some rock cats. I did all kind of stuff, man. I blew my stuff self out.
know you put it down like that. This is Freddie Hubbard you're listening to on the show Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. You know, you came up through the ranks of, you know, the jazz messengers with Blakey. I mean, how special was Boo, and what are some of the things that you experienced with Blakey and those particular musicians at the time that, what did they do for you, your music, and your career?
Well, when I first went down to Birdland to hear Art Blakey, because I heard something that Lee was going to leave and form his own group, I went down there to hear them, and I heard Lee Morgan. He was playing so much stuff that it scared me literally to death. I got ready to leave the club. I said, man, stay here, man. I want to talk to you. But I heard Lee, they was playing that Night in Tunisia thing. And, boy, I got so scared because I had never heard no trumpet player, young trumpet player, playing with that much strength and playing that much stuff, because he had played with Dizzy Gillespie, you know, Lee Morgan then.
Yeah.
So he was ready, man. He was on fire. But I stayed in there, and I joined the group when he had Wayne Shorter and Curtis Fuller, Cedar Walton, Jimmy Merritt, and Reggie Workman came after Jimmy Merritt, but he had Cedar Walton, Jimmy Merritt, and Curtis Fuller. Man, we had a group, and we rehearsed, and we had uniforms, and we were everybody was cool then, with nobody messing around with anything, and the music was very inspirational. Man, everybody had a chance to write arrangements. And it was a thrill of my life. Man, I've got some videos now, DVDs.
Oh, those got to be precious, man.
Oh, man. Art Blakey used to give me chills. That man could play those drums like nobody. I mean, I love Elvin, I love Max, and I love Tony Williams, and I love Lewis Hayes, and I love all these guys. But when that man played those drums, it was like you were in the middle of the jungle, I mean, almost sometimes, man. He would have so many rhythms going on at one time. You call them polyrhythms.
Yeah.
He would have three rhythms going on at one time. So I wrote this one tune for him called The Core. I don't know if you heard it. The Core.
I'm sure I have.
Congress of Racial Equality. That's when I was back in New York, and I was checking out Roy Ennis and all those guys.
With yeah.
Congress. But anyway, He played this rhythm, dun 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 dun. He had the saxophone, chuk 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 chuk, dun dun. All these rhythms going on at the same time. Man, it sounded like the studio, Rudy Van Gelder's studio out there, was lit up.
Oh man, I want to come over and see some of those videos, man.
Oh man, you got to see this stuff. Man. This man was insane. Man, I stayed with him for 3 years, and that was, oh man.
What a beautiful experience, and all those guys are such great players.
Oh, man, Wayne Shorter wrote some stuff, and Curtis and Cedar, all of them, man, wrote some stuff that you wouldn't believe. I mean, these are young, you know, young cats, man. We were young then, and everybody had a chance to write their little stuff. But Wayne was, he was very helpful to me, man, because I used to go up his house, and he would play the piano and show me some things, and he used to come to my house in Brooklyn. I used to go to his house in Newark, New Jersey, and we would practice together. And he would come over to Coltrane's house, and I would be over to Coltrane's house, and we both practiced with Train. So we eventually did some gigs with Train together.
Man, what an experience. That time was so special, man. I mean, mm-hmm. The 60s was a time, you know, it was fueled with black awareness, black power, strength, cats like Mingus and Max,
oh, man,
and Abby,
man.
And Nina, they all had their...
I had a chance to meet all of them, man. Nina Simone and Abby Lincoln. She the one that caused me to get married.
Is that right?
Yeah, my first time.
Oh, beautiful.
She wrote the lyrics to Up Jump Spring.
Yes.
Because I was out in L.A. when I wrote that particular tune. I had my son, I think he was 1 year old. We were walking down... he was about two or three, I guess. We were walking down Sunset Boulevard, because we were working at a club called the Renaissance with Art Blakey and the Messengers. And we was walking down the street, and my son starts skipping. So I said, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I went on back to the hotel, and I wrote this song out, and I took it to the gig, and I said, let's rehearse it. So we rehearsed it and recorded it that night.
Oh, that's great, man.
I mean, that's how bad he was.
What's your son?
My son's name is Dwayne. My son, Dwayne Hubbard. He's about 41 now, man.
Yeah.
I'm an old cat now.
Well, you're still doing it, man.
I was thinking about that, man. I've been tooting that horn about 35 years on the scene, man.
Well, we are certainly blessed for that. This is Freddie Hubbard on the show Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. On the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. You know, Blue Note Records is legendary in capturing your music as well as so many of the other notable players of the time. I mean, there's not been another time in history where so many historic innovators have been recorded. Those must have been some exciting times.
Yeah, it was because most of the guys were new and they hadn't been recorded before, so they were very anxious to get their music recorded. And Alpha Lyons, him and Frank Wolf were two cats they came over from Germany, and they loved the music, man. And I was playing a gig in Birdland one night with Philly Joe, and Cedar, I think, was on it. But anyway, I was playing a two-bass hit, and Miles was on the front of the stage. I opened my eyes up. I almost fell out, because he was sitting on the front of the stage looking up at me, and everybody's looking at him, so. I was playing one of his licks on two bass, one of his ideas on two bass hit, and when I got off the stage, he said, come on over with me. So I went over with him, and he told Alpha Lyons, he said, give him a contract, just like that. And the guy had Ike Quebeck call me the next day, man.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine? I didn't have nothing, no money. No, I didn't have no money, and I didn't have any, I had a place to stay. But man, that was the thrill of my life. Man, I had a chance to meet all those guys because you know everybody was there. Tina Brooks and all these young cats, and I was working with Philly Joe, and that was about 60 or something like that.
Living and loving for the music.
That was a long time ago, man. Damn, we talking about 40 some years ago.
Yeah.
Gosh. But I'm glad to be here.
We happy to have you here, man.
And I came out here in 72, 73, right after I won that Grammy, First Light.
Yeah.
And me and my wife had been having troubles. So I met this lady, Brigitte, my wife now, Brigitte.
Brigitte.
Name I call her Briggy yeah. Hubbard. And her father was a colonel out of the Tuskegee Institute.
The airman.
Yeah, so he was in the service, and he was over there, and he adopted her. And his name was Hubbard. You believe that?
No. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. So when I saw her name...
Just married another Hubbard.
Yeah, when I saw her name plate, I said, wait a minute, girl, you couldn't be a Hubbard. He was working for John Levy. He was a manager... Psych manager out here.
Oh, well, yeah, I know Levy.
So I went over to talk to him, and I saw her, and I've been with her ever since.
Well, music brings love, and love brings the music, and we're so happy to be able to talk to you today, and always, man, your music is a blessing. I played it when I was on air at...
I heard you when you was out here.
Yeah.
I'd be waiting on you to come on.
Oh, beautiful, man.
Because you had a nice voice, man, and you played the music that you like, and you played some hip stuff. I mean, you didn't just play one thing.
No, man, I appreciate that.
I mean, some of these guests, man, they be switching up so much you can't get with what they got in mind, you know, to play.
Yeah.
But who was that tall guy that was on the radio a long time ago?
I'm a tall guy, maybe with me.
No, it wasn't you. This is back in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, I'm not sure. Oh, Lawrence Tanner.
No. This is White Cat. What's his name?
Well, I'm not sure, man, but I tell you one thing. I was certainly proud to play your music, man. It was so much stuff, you know.
I know you got tired of playing because I was on everybody else's record.
No, there was something. I think it was the Seventh Day or...
Seventh Day, yeah.
Oh, I love that. I love that album, man.
Yeah, I was in Brooklyn at the time, man. It was a weird time. It was kind of crucial in my development because I was in between, trying to play in between Clifford Brown, Donald Byrd, Lee Morgan, and I was finding my style about then.
Yeah.
And it was, people tell me, man, I play like Dizzy, I play like Miles, you know, my hear that stuff. So I kind of switched up and started trying to play like a tenor player a little bit.
Mm.
And that changed my conception. So I didn't sound like other trumpet players, if you notice. Because I would try to make some runs that were not usually played on the trumpet. And that's what made me a little different. And it took a lot of energy and a lot of movements in my embouchure, which I paid for later because I didn't keep it up. You know, you have to, when you play like that, like playing like Train, Eric Dolphy, and them, because you gotta practice that way all the time. But I didn't do that, and I was working so much that I let my embouchure fall a little bit. So that's what happened to me. But
hey, man, well, listen, it's a blessing, and you know what they say: God bless the child that's got his own, and you certainly have yours, man.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Well, thank you. Freddie, it's been great talking to you today, man. And as always, I appreciate it. The people appreciate it. And we're going to listen to some of your music right now.
Man, keep the faith and keep playing this music because Lord knows we need you.
Yeah, oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Hey, what's your name?